Okay, do we need to persist with the sound of the express train, Mike? Is there any way it can be? Is it something I'm doing? We'll see how it goes. Dave mentioned earlier that today is the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, and that there's unlikely to be another one of those, certainly within any of our lifetimes. But it's also Trinity Sunday today, and that does actually come round every year. And I usually seem to end up preaching. So today I thought, I know, I'll dig out last year's sermon. Not to repeat it, you understand, but, you know, you've got to have a bit of a helping hand, haven't you? And I must confess, I read it and I thought, oh, it's a bit rubbish. Not sure I'm sort of really with that. Now, so if you were here last year on Trinity Sunday and you heard it and you thought it was rubbish, I apologise. But actually, I think, you know, we all move on, don't we, in our thinking. Oh dear. So anyway, let's see how we get on. You know, it struck me that actually, you know, we have lots of sort of festivals in the church. You know, Christmas and Easter are the really obvious ones, and we have Pentecost last week. We have Ascension Day. There's whatever it's called when the angel Gabriel comes and tells Mary that she's expecting a baby. But all of those are based on a narrative on some event that we can read about in the Bible that happened. The Trinity is a bit different. You know, there is no sort of set passage that neatly explains what it's all about. It's actually a doctrine that, and I'll be careful how I say this because I'm not being heretical, but it might sound it. It's not actually written in the scripture as such. We read about God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But the doctrine of the Trinity is something that the church has put together as a way of understanding this incredibly complex idea that we find it so hard to get our heads around. The doctrine of the Trinity says very basically that God is one. There is one God. But that actually through the words of Scripture, God has revealed himself to us as the Father and as the Son and as the Holy Spirit. So God is one and God is three. Now I can cope with something being one and I can cope with something being three. But something being one and three at the same time, it's just a bit more difficult to get our heads around, isn't it? Yeah, lovely phrase, I can't remember where it came from, but somebody said, you know, it's like trying to nail jelly to a wall. Yeah? It's sort of too slippery, we just can't quite get hold of it. So I just want to have a look tonight and just maybe bring one or two ideas that hopefully might just help us. Let's be very clear, there is one God. Christianity is a monotheistic faith. It says there is one God. There are other faiths that have more than one God, that are polytheistic, but our Christian faith says there is one God. Maybe we see that most clearly in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then in the New Testament, Paul refers again and again, but in Ephesians, one God and Father. There is one God and Father. But yet too, throughout the scriptures, we see God the Father, we see God the Son, we see God the Holy Spirit. You may have heard of a theologian called Karl Barth. He was a German theologian. He died in 1968 at the age of 80-something. He had the brain the size of a barge. He wrote an incredible amount of theology. Yeah, if you lined it all up, tons of the stuff. It was all written in German, so anything that we can read is, of course, a translation. And it's that sort of stuff, you know, you read a sentence and you read it three times and you begin to think, do I understand what he's talking about? But much of the ideas that he came up with sort of changed in many ways the way that we think about our theology. And he said this: the doctrine of the Trinity is what basically distinguishes the Christian doctrine of God as Christian. Let me just say that again. The doctrine of the Trinity is what basically distinguishes the Christian doctrine of God as Christian. In other words, he's saying God is triune. God is Trinity. There is no other sort of God in the Christian faith. It's actually a nonsense to talk about God without saying that God is three. Are you with me so far? Now, we tend to think, actually, could we have that picture up, Callum, please? I don't know whether anybody might recognise that. It appears quite often when people talk about the Trinity. It's known as Rublev's icon because it was painted by an artist called Rublev, I assume. No, David. He's going on holiday tomorrow. We'll have to let him off. But it depicts God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And many commentators have talked about the obvious relationship between the three characters, the way that they look at one another, although that's not terribly clear, the picture up there, that they're sitting around, perhaps a meal, sort of images perhaps in the background that help us with it. And it's a sort of traditional way of thinking of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity, as God being three persons. And in fact, we often use the phrase the three persons of the Trinity. I just want to suggest, I just wonder how helpful that is sometimes. And for a couple of reasons, really. When we think of three persons, we think of three individual people, or as we've got, you know, three people sitting over here, one, two, three. They're clearly separate beings, separate individuals. So to then hold that actually they're also one, because they're one God, seems to me to be quite a big sort of mental leap to try and make. And I think what it does, it sort of constrains our concept of God as being something within the scope of what we can understand. Now, of course, the only way that we can deal with knowing anything about God is to bring it down to our finite level. Because, you know, we've only got so much thinking capacity. As someone once said, if we could understand God, he wouldn't be God. But in order to make it into something that we can deal with, do we maybe constrain God? Now, something that Bart does is turn it upside down. Now, I haven't done anything with you and turn the picture upside down, because my IT skills only go so far. But actually, Bart says, well, instead of saying the Father is God, and Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, he says, well, look at it this way. God is the Father, and God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're looking a bit confused. Let me say that again. What we would often think of is to say that the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Spirit is God. And this other idea is to say, well, God is Father, God is Son, God is Spirit. We could argue that that is just semantics. It's just a different way of putting the words. But actually, as I've reflected on this, I think it does make a difference because it alters our perspective. It changes our focus. So I was trying to think of a metaphor there for this. And, you know, we could look around this church tonight and say, well, you know, Dave is part of St. John's, and Abel's part of St. John's, and Mark is part of St. John's, and Chris is part of St. John's, and I'm part of St. John's. Every single one of us. But that makes St. John's the people that's here tonight. If we say that St. John's is Dave and Avril and Mark and Chris, then it can also be all the people who aren't in here tonight. Now, actually, I think that's what we believe, isn't it? Our church, our community, our family is more than just the people who come to any one given service. Because actually this morning there were another, 80, 90, 100 people. And I guess only a small number of us were here this morning. And then at 8:30, there were, maybe 20 people who haven't been at the other services. And yet, we're all part of one church family. And then there's all the folk at St. Mary's, who are also part of our family. We're still part of this church family, even when we're not actually here. Now, I don't know whether it's just the way that my brain works, but actually I think that helps us. God is God. Is God is God. And in Scripture, we see him sometimes as God the Father. And we see him sometimes as God the Son, our Saviour who died for us. We see him sometimes as the Holy Spirit who comes amongst us. He's called the Comforter. He's called our friend. But he's still God. So just, I think what I want to suggest tonight is let's stop trying. You know, the Trinity, sometimes we try and put God in boxes. And say, well, this bit is the Father, and this bit is the Son, and this bit is the Spirit. But maybe if we set ourselves free to think of God as God, revealed to us in three ways, sparkles and modes of being. Now, talk about modes of being is a bit more clumsy and a bit more complicated, a bit more untidy than saying persons or people. But I wonder actually if it helps. If it is a better way of thinking about it. And anyway, so what? What difference does it make? Well, some of you might have noticed that I haven't really referred very much to the reading. And it's probably a bit of a strange reading to choose for Trinity anyway. But it isn't completely random because it was one of the lectionary ones that was listed that Dave said I could choose from. So I haven't gone completely off-piste on this. But in this reading, we had that fantastic vision, didn't we, of Isaiah, of worship. Of Isaiah in the throne room of heaven. And that as he saw the seraphim and sort of flying around worshipping God, as he listened to the constant worship and praise that was going on, what happened to him? Well, he was changed by that. That he met with God. It says that the coal from the altar touched his lips. And as he had that experience, as he met with God, it was then that he responded to God's call. As God says, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah replies, "Here am I, send me." And the next few verses then are Isaiah's commission of what will be his life's ministry. We talk in our vision of being a people transformed by God. And I just want to say tonight, you know, we're transformed by God when we worship him. And yes, of course, that's when we worship him here together, when we worship in song. It's also when we worship him when we're on our own. When we're sitting at home praying. Or when we're out enjoying his wonderful creation. Possibly better when it's not pouring down, but maybe that's just me. But when we worship God, when we allow him, then he will transform us and make us more and more like Jesus. But if we want to worship God, it's good, isn't it, to learn more about this God that we worship. Isaiah's caught up in this continuous worship. He's transformed. He commits his life to serving God. As we worship God, who is Father, God who is Son, God who is the Holy Spirit, let it be our prayer that we too are transformed. And that in that place we commit ourselves to service. Amen.
Thanks, Judith. I'm just going to take a moment just to pray. That's actually what we're going to do, so I'm not going to say anything else. Let's do it. Almighty God, we thank you that you are Father, Son, and Spirit. And Lord, we pray for our world. Lord, for all that is going on. For every nation where there is still war. For those areas of the world where there is still famine. For those many areas of the world where injustice rules the day. Come, God. Come bring healing to this world that you made and you love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for your church, both here in Mansfield and around the world. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith. May they know you in a real and tangible way. And Lord, we ask that you would grow your church. Lord, we pray for this church here in Mansfield, St. John's with St. Mary's. Give us grace to follow you, to listen to what you're saying. Pray for Mark this week as he's on his break, and Lord, that you would refresh him and renew him, ready for what's next. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we bring to you ourselves, all our needs, all our dreams, all our sorrows. Help us to walk closely with you.